You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, Episode 69, How to Read the Summa Theologiae, that's the Summa of Thomas Aquinas, in 1 year. Howdy, and thank you for tuning in to The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And my goal this week is to share with you an interview that I did in the New St. Thomas Institute with Dave Palmer, a great layman, on how he read the Summa in just 365 days. Well, today's show is a little bit different. We have an interview with Dave Palmer, as I mentioned in the intro. And before we get into that, just a few announcements. I shared several weeks ago that Joy and I are having a new baby, baby number 8. And I just got a call a couple hours ago from Joy. She just went to the first doctor's appointment. Everything is looking great. The little baby's healthy, and the doctor was very pleased. Joy's healthy, so thank you so much for all your prayers. We certainly need them moving forward. And I wanted to invite you to a live webinar this Thursday. 2 weeks ago, I did not record the podcast. I'm sorry for that, because I was preparing for a live webinar on Divine Mercy in time for the Feast of Divine Mercy, which is the Sunday after Easter. And it was fantastic. We had over 700 of you live on our webinar. We talked about St. Faustina and how she was persecuted. We talked about how her writings were suspect of heresy, how they were banned and they were put on the index of forbidden books. Sorry about that. And how a cardinal from Poland, Karol Wojtyła, turned it all around, and how his advocacy for the devotion to Divine Mercy and for Sister Faustina not only led to her canonization, but to him becoming a pope and him becoming a saint and him canonizing, I guess that's the right word, codifying the Feast of Divine Mercy. It was a great webinar. We gave away a lot of free books. We gave away a year tuition to the New St. Thomas Institute to one lucky winner. And we're doing another one this Thursday. It's on Mary and the Eucharist. We're going to talk about how you can have a renewed life by increasing and understanding your devotion to Mary and the Eucharist, probably the two main doctrines most misunderstood by Protestants, and I would say maybe even most misunderstood by Catholics themselves. So we already have close to 600 people signed up, and I would encourage you to go ahead and register and be part of our live webinar. I'm going to give away some free books and some more free goodies and some resources, and it'll be a good time. So please, I'll put the link in the show notes. Just go to taylormarshall.com, and hit podcast, weekly podcast at the top of the page. Look for episode 69, that's this episode, and you'll find the link where you can register. If you're listening to this on my blog, you just look beneath the play button, and we'll put the link there so you can sign up for our live webinar. It's going to be lots of fun, just like always. Also, this podcast is brought to you by the New St. Thomas Institute, and enrollment is open until next week. We have a few spots left. If you'd like to join, we have a discounted tuition going on right now, a sale after Easter, 40% off. You're going to get free books. You're going to get bonus MP3s. You're going to get our new digital library, so you're going to get the entire Summa searchable. You're going to get the Bible in Greek. You're going to get it in Latin, English, searchable. You're going to get the entire Catholic Encyclopedia. You're also going to get our audio archive, which is a new thing we just added. It makes it super easy to listen to our MP3 classes and Ox Talks inside the New St. Thomas Institute from your mobile device. Lots of neat stuff. So if you want to do that, I'd encourage you to sign up before spots run out and before enrollment closes next week. Now, we're about to hear from Dave Palmer. We sat down for an interview. This was an interview that we did in the New St. Thomas Institute last year. And I thought, you know, this is a great topic because more and more people are getting into reading the Bible every year. And I want to encourage more and more people to read Thomas Aquinas every year. Because my opinion is we have a lot of people doing theology, but they just don't know what they're doing because they don't have a good base. It's like working out and not knowing how to get into a squatting position, or not knowing how to bench press, or not knowing how to do a military press, or getting into running and not knowing the form of running, how to keep your body. If you don't do that, you get going and then you get an injury, usually within a month or two of getting serious about that exercise. And I think the same thing happens in theology. People get into it, they start reading, and they get into injuries. And injuries in the spiritual life can be discouragement, but it also can mean things like material heresy and having wrong views of salvation, wrong views of God, wrong views of Christ, Our Lady, the Eucharist, etc. So it's important that we get the foundation right. It's important that we know the structure, quote unquote, of the lifts or of the exercise. And there's no better way to do that than reading the Bible and then reading Thomas Aquinas. He is the great Catholic theologian for our times, the great Catholic theologian of all times. He's the universal go-to guy. So today we're going to talk about how Dave Palmer, and many of you may even know Dave Palmer, he is the voice of Catholic radio here in North Texas. And you hear him all the time, all day long, and even on his show. And he loves Thomas Aquinas. I met him in a class, a graduate course on Thomas Aquinas, and I've always been impressed by his passion and his love for Thomism. So we sat down and we talked about how he read the entire Summa Theologiae, the entire Summa Theologica, in 1 year. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this lesson, this interview from the new St. Thomas Institute. Here's Dave Palmer. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Never thought I'd be sitting in this chair. I didn't think I was qualified.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to read it like 5 or 6 times, right?
No, you're an expert. You've read it. Now, a lot of people in the forums have been talking about making a plan to read the entire Summa. And I mean, it's a big, big work, right? And you actually had that dream, that goal, and you've done it several times. How did you get inspired to read the entire Summa Theologiae of Thomas?
Well, I'll start off by saying it's impossible to do if you don't love it.
Right.
You know, if you start reading it and it isn't just a passion of yours, then you're never going to get through it because it's too much work. But I don't know. There came a time about 5 years ago where, after many years of really being intrigued with Thomas and kind of being intimidated in reading the Summa, it's like a light went on. And I said to myself, I am going to read the Summa. I'm going to read it from front to end. And I honestly have never met anybody that's done it. I don't know if you've done it.
No, I've never done it one, front to end. I haven't. So you started at part one, question one, article one, and just went nonstop. You never skipped around.
And when I went to the Catholic bookstore to buy it, I told the lady, Janet, from Sacred Heart Books here in Dallas, I told her, I said, Janet, I'm going to read it. You know, anybody who knows the Summa, it's 5 volumes, it's really big. And she kind of laughed. And I said, no, really, I really am. And I guess I had to convince myself.
Yeah, that's great.
I guess I just got into it. You know, it's like anything you love. And the funny thing is that it took me 9 months to read the first time. I highlighted the whole thing. Because that's how we're
literally at. You highlighted it.
I highlighted the whole thing.
So if I had your copy right now,
the whole thing.
The whole thing is highlighted.
The whole thing
and
is
why
highlighted.
Did you do that?
I did it because it forced me to read a little slower and also to guarantee myself that I've read the whole thing. Because as I'm highlighting it, I know I've read it. And also, I knew where I was.
Yeah.
You know, where did the highlighting stop? And so that took 9 months.
How many highlighters is that? Did you keep count?
No.
How many highlighters to get through the Summa?
I'm not sure, but probably about 10.
Wow.
To go through the whole thing.
All the same color?
It's all yellow.
Okay.
I thought about the second time doing, you know, pink or blue.
Uh-huh.
Or 9 months took me the first time. I ended, you know, I forget the date, but I ended one night. The next day, I started it again. I mean, I wasn't like, well, let's take a couple months off. You know, I was like, so then I went through with a red pen and highlighted the most important parts, underlined.
Right.
And I went through the whole thing with a red pen, and that took about a year. And and so then after that, I said, I'm going to go through and just read the corpi, the body. And so went through and read all the corpuses by that time.
Wow.
I realized, you know, that's really the most important part of each article. But it was a blast. I enjoyed every minute of it.
So there's people watching now thinking, okay, I could do this. I'm going to do it. They're fired up, right? Was there a moment when you're in the first part and you're like, oh, I'm not going to finish. Or, I mean, is there kind of like when you're reading the Bible, you read Genesis, Exodus, you get to Leviticus, and you just start kind of skidding and having problems. Is there a part in the sumo where you kind of get into some rough terrain?
I would say the part where it talks about the Old Testament laws, ceremonial laws, and the precepts,
yeah.
Because the articles are real long,
yeah.
And you know that I got to admit, you know, that's your favorite part.
I love that.
It wasn't my favorite part, and also sometimes I was trying to read, like, let's say a couple questions a day, you know,
yeah.
And when you get to those parts where instead of having, you know, three articles, you've got, you know, 10, and instead of having three objections, you've
yeah.
got, you know, 15,
yeah,
and
right.
instead of it being, you know, the article being yeah. a page and a half, it's, you know, 10 pages.
Right.
Then it's like, oh my gosh, you know. But but I still enjoyed it, and, but yeah, that wasn't my favorite part.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the first part is my favorite part.
The first part is?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, prima pars is my favorite part of the Summa.
It's the most kind of philosophical.
Yeah. Because I've always been fascinated with the how we, like, epistemology. How
yeah.
do we know things? How does God, you know, what is his intellect
right.
like? Does God have a will? Predestination.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole body-soul composite,
right.
the angels.
The angels is a beautiful part of that.
Yeah, yeah. And I just thought, you know, all of creation, you know, kind of putting it all together. How do we relate to the dogs and the angels and God?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so the first part, by the time I moved through that, man, I was flying and
yeah.
nothing was going to slow me down.
Wow. You know, for me, you know, when people ask, I want to start reading the Summa, I usually tell them, and you can disagree, I say start with the third part because it's about Christ and his life and the sacraments, and most people can connect with that, I think, maybe more easily. Would you encourage them to just plow right into the first part?
Well, one of my heroes, Taylor Marshall, told me that it builds up to Christ,
yeah.
you know, and so I kind of like it that way. I like, first of all, learning about the Trinity before you get into Christ. And so I remember you saying that in one of your introductory
mm-hmm.
sessions is that, you know, and I always found it intriguing that, you know, Thomas didn't start with Christ.
Or right.
You got to get through, what, you know, three quarters of the Summa
yeah,
before he really digs into it. So
yeah.
it intrigued me so much that I wanted to know. I took it very, very systematically.
Yep.
And I figured, because, you know, he wrote it, you know, of course, very intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I,
of course.
You know, kind of out of respect for Thomas,
yeah.
I said, I'm going to read it in order. And I'm glad I did. But,
mm-hmm.
now, I don't know. I guess everybody has their different ways
right.
of reading it. But
yeah, you know, in a previous course, we talked about the crescendo or the climax of the Summa, you know, moving towards Christ. And Thomas did write it that way, you know. I mean, there's a purpose, you know. That's the dessert, and you work through the meal along the way. So for people, start at the beginning. And what about if they meet a part where they're confused? They give up. What did you do when you got to maybe some philosophical concepts, or he's referring to, you know, Averroes or obscure personalities he didn't know? Did you go
yeah.
and look them up, or did you just keep going?
You know, the first time I made a promise to myself that I was just going to plow through it.
Right.
And you know, of course, I didn't understand everything I read.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there were times when I got stuck. But if I stopped down and, you know, did the research and went to the library, and I just knew I wasn't going to finish.
You would never finish.
And so, but I knew I was going to do it again. I mean, when I knew early right. on that this, I was going to read it multiple times. I just knew. I knew.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to find out about that. You're just sitting at home one day and you say, I want to read the whole Summa. I mean, what inspired you to go to the store, buy the five volumes,
okay,
and get the highlighters?
I'll give you, because this is a very precise answer. I work in Catholic radio, and I love the faith. I
yep.
love the fullness of the
mm-hmm.
faith. You know, I wanna know, like, in its entirety, everything.
Yes.
So I had
a
read
Summa.
Through,
you need a
yeah,
Summa.
Yeah, I wanted the Summa.
Yeah.
And I read through the Catechism, and the Catechism is great for getting the answers,
mm-hmm.
kind of like the answers, but I wanted to know kind of from whence the answers came.
You wanted the hows and the whys.
The hows and the whys. Yeah. And also, I was in a situation where, when you work in Catholic radio, everybody sends you books.
Yeah.
So they give you books, and that's
mm-hmm.
great. And so I would read a book, and I'd read about two chapters of it, and then somebody else would send me a book, and I'd say, okay, and put that one down because I'm interested in this one.
Right.
And finally, I got so frustrated with doing that I said, you know, I want to read the best book,
mm-hmm.
and of course, Scripture is the best
book. Of course.
Okay. And I had done this. I'd read through Scripture, But I said, I just want to like really get into one thing. Yes. So I narrowed it down to either, I'm either going to read Augustine or Aquinas. Because they're really the two great doctors.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
But Augustine doesn't have, you know, a summa. Augustine wrote a lot.
He wrote a lot.
And I've read the Confessions. But I said, you know, and plus I also realized that if I read Aquinas, I get Augustine.
That's right. You get a two for one.
Yeah. And if I read, you know, Aquinas, I get all, because he came many years, many centuries later.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Augustine. You get a lot of them.
And
you
a lot of church fathers.
Yeah, you get a lot of church fathers. Damascene. And you get Aristotle, and you get Plato, and you get some of the Jewish philosophers, and some of the Muslim ones.
That's right.
And so that's what it was. I said, I want one book, and I want something that when something else comes, it's not going to distract me. Now, again, Scripture is more important than the Summa.
Yes.
But not to, yeah, I want to get that out right away. But no, nothing was going to distract me because I felt like I had the gold mine, you know.
Right.
And in listening to Catholic radio, people are constantly quoting Aquinas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, 800 years later, this guy's still an authority.
Yeah.
And as you have said many times, the popes and so many leaders in the church, they're constantly going back to Aquinas.
Yep.
And then I'm thinking, okay, I can't go wrong here.
Right. Wow. So you've gone through it. Do you recommend, some people have a hard time with the objections and the reply to the objections. So, you know, Thomas sets it up there, the objections to his argument, then his argument and his response, and then the reply to the objections. A lot of people say, you know, it's hard for me to remember the objections by the time I get to the reply. It's a sandwich, and I can't remember the first part of the sandwich, and they get confused.
Right.
Did you read it systematically in order? And is there a tip you have for people to, if they're having trouble remembering how the reply to the objections map up with the objections in the Summa?
Yeah, well, the first time, of course, I was real strict about how I was reading it. So I read it straight through. You know, I read the objections and then the ad contra and the corpus and then the response to the objections. But when I got through into the second time, I did mess with the order a little bit.
Yeah.
And when I read one objection, no, I would typically like to read the corpus first.
Yes.
Okay, I like to, what does Thomas say? What's the right answer before I read the wrong answers?
Yes.
Read the corpus, and the ad contra in the corpus, because ad contra is normally pretty short.
Yep.
And then I'll go objection one, response one. Objection two,
I like to do that
two.
Also.
Yeah, because they get a little jumbled.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time, especially if you've been through the corpus, and then you get into the response, you're thinking like, okay, I don't remember exactly what the objection was.
Right.
I hope that's not cheating, but I started doing
I think, you know, because, you know, we living in the third millennium, you know, we have a very discursive or sequential way of thinking. We watch movies, you know, and plots, and it seems that Thomas, when he's writing this, he has more of an actual debate in mind. So he has one voice and a second voice, and they're in dialogue with each other in every single article, right? And so for us that don't live in that context, I think as you're reading it in order, it kind of causes a little bit of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, for people who are trying to read the Summa, if they're having that problem, I guess our advice would be, a lot of people do, just keep at it.
Yeah, and I would say don't be too hard on yourself. Like I said, the first time I read through it, I put no, you know, rules, you know, nothing where I've got to understand this. If I didn't stop at every speed bump, and just have fun with it. I think you know, once you've read through the whole thing, you know, and again, I mean, not everybody, you know, that is with the Institute is going to do that. It's it's tough and it's time consuming, but I think once you've read through the whole thing, you just get a really great idea of the wholeness of it. You know, I did a paper one time on Aquinas on abortion, and so I knew that he didn't tackle that straight on. You know, he never had any question about abortion, but he did in some parts of it obliquely get to it. But you get an idea if somebody were to say, "Hey, did Thomas ever talk about this?" Well, if you kind of read the whole thing, you know, at least in the back of your mind, well, yeah, he did mention that. But I don't know exactly where it is. But,
you've got to find that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about how you can apply the Summa in your daily life and with your family, with your friends, your coworkers. Dave has some advice on that, especially as you're teaching your kids to have you know, a more Christian, a more Catholic worldview, and using Thomas to help out for that. So thanks a lot, Dave.
All right.
We'll be back in just a moment. We're continuing an interview with Dave Palmer. In the first segment, Dave talked to us about how he read the entire Summa three times and how you can also. And we're going to continue the discussion. We're going to talk about applying the Summa to our daily life and our interactions. So thanks for being back with us, Dave.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I made the second segment. You didn't kick me out after the first.
We didn't beat you, yeah. So in the first half, we talked about how to read the Summa, how to have the perseverance. How has that reading of the Summa over time affected your instruction as a parent, as a husband, as a colleague? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, well, all of the above. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, first of all, it kind of dispels the notions that we typically have. I mean, when people think of God the Father, they think of the bearded man up, mm-hmm. upstairs, maybe, you know, firing, you know, throwing down thunderbolts, or you think of angels, you know, the typical image that we get. But needless to say, in the first part that, like we talked about, you really get a real detailed description of all these, God and all the creatures. And as far as being a father, we have a cat and we have fish. And so right. I'll, you know, going to like the fifth proof of the existence of God, mm-hmm. I'll pull my 8-year-old or my 5-year-old daughters over and I'll say, you know, that's interesting that fish swimming around in the tank there. Maura, how do you think what's making that fish move? Or you think the fish is consciously thinking of what it's doing? Or, mm-hmm. you know, and she doesn't know instincts or all that. And right. I'd say, you know, does God have a part in that fish moving around?
Which, and what does she say?
Well, she knows the right answer.
What was her first answer?
Well, she, you know, I don't know, Daddy. Can I go back and play with my Barbie?
Yeah, right.
Of course, you know, God's moving all things. He's present in all things through his power, you know, as we learn in the first part of the Summa. One night I was in, they're going to bed, and my two daughters sleep on the same bed together, and the cat was up there, our cat Goretti, named after Saint Maria Goretti. And I'll say, you know, Ina, what's the difference between you and Goretti? You know, what is the fundamental difference?
She and
know?
The cat.
Her okay. and the cat, not okay. the saint. Yeah. And you know they by now they know the answer. You know we have intelligence. The cat doesn't have an intellect. You know the cat right. doesn't have free will. You know mm-hmm. when the cat messes up or throws up on the carpet, you know we don't spank it. You know
right.
And we wouldn't spank our daughter if she threw up on the carpet either. But you know when she when they do something wrong, so it's really from a practical standpoint really cool. And even from my own standpoint, like I told you before we started here today, I don't look at anything the same anymore. If I see a grasshopper, or I you know if I see a bird or a cloud or a tree, you know, everything is different. Everything has changed right. because of having this new information, you know, in my head.
See, I think that's what's so great about reading Thomas Aquinas is it's not just like this intellectual, scholastic pursuit for the sake of knowledge, but it really does change your worldview.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. see the world in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, on the way over here, I saw a big flock of seagulls or geese or something. They were really high up and they were moving south. And I was just amazed by that and thinking about, you know, the order of nature. And yeah. Thomas Aquinas loves the order of nature. Mm-hmm. He's a real student of Albert the Great in
yeah.
that way.
Yeah.
And I think as Catholics, we have to not just have a great awe and wonder for heaven, but we also have an awe and wonder for God's greatness in the glory of creation
mm-hmm.
as he's yeah. made it. And Thomas is able to bring all that together.
Mm-hmm. Especially since in our culture today, especially with the media and how important that is in forming minds, God is pretty much taken out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has kind of a scientific explanation. Everything can be, you know, I guess kind of a positivism type of approach, you know, where, yeah. you know, if we can't explain it, then we're not going to talk about it.
Right.
But it does, you know, bring God into everything. You know, of course, if God isn't here, you and I can't have this conversation.
Yeah.
I teach a high school class online, the Summa. And one thing I tell the kids, I said, you know, if you're praying less because you're reading the Summa, then I've been a failure. And
yeah,
so you know,
you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you're doing it yeah. wrong. So yeah. you also every now, you know, quite often have to say, you know, God, thank you for those seagulls. Thank you for those yes. ducks, that bird. Thank
That's
you
right.
for our cat, even when he throws up on the carpet.
Right, right. So when you're teaching these young people, what are the ages you're teaching Summa to?
The youngest student I've had is 13, and the oldest would be 18. So
okay.
it's generally 14, 18-year-olds, but there was one right. brilliant young guy that wanted to take it at 13.
And tell us about him. I mean, was he able to comprehend at 13
Yeah, he told me that it was the best class he ever took. He was a guy that wanted to be a priest.
Okay.
I think he's a young man who knows exactly what he wants to do.
Right.
And he was into it. And he probably had to beg his mom and dad to let him take Aquinas at 13. But
yeah.
He did well. The mind develops as they get older. He didn't get 100. He didn't ace it. But for a 13-year-old to be reading Thomas and kind of getting it, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Now, what about in daily conversations? You can't just, Thomas says in the, Secunda Secunda, question 92, people are probably going to glaze over and tune you out. But, are there opportunities in which the things you've learned, the things you've read have been able to be applied to conversations or helping people or your marriage or all of the above?
Yeah, one of the important ones, I've had this with, a lot of people, and my kids in particular, is that a lot of times when people say somebody dies, they'll say, well, I have an angel in heaven now, and without being too much of an intellectual snob, I'll say, well, actually you don't.
Right.
But the important thing is I say, well, if you say that, you discount the body. And
yes.
You discount the importance of our body, and right. And then you can even get into a conversation about John Paul II and the theology of the body,
mm-hmm.
and saying, we will never be angels,
right.
just like we'll never be a grasshopper.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Angels
have a higher nature than we do.
And they don't have bodies. Of course,
right.
they can assume bodies.
Yeah.
But,
and we have the resurrection of the body.
Yeah.
We'll get our body back. So.
Yeah. And so that's one example of something a lot of people say that, and they mean the right thing, but I think it's a very bad error to get into because,
mm-hmm.
First of all, I love the angels because if we can understand the angels, we're kind of getting one step closer to God.
Precisely.
We don't want to relate too much to our dog. We have a lot in common with our dog and the
right.
passions and the body,
yep.
but we'd rather kind of take a step up and try to understand the angelic mind because that's
right.
that's the part of us that is made to the image and likeness of God. And so
exactly.
a kind of a stair-step approach to understanding God.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in our conversations, you'd mentioned how there, as you were reading the Summa for the first time, you were in the third part, you were in the section on the Sacrament of Penance, and you got to the part where Thomas, historically, he died in that part. He never finished the Summa Theologiae. And you said you kind of had an emotional response. Share that with us.
Yeah, it was, having read for, I guess at that point, for 8 months, one author, like any book you read, you get to, you get an attachment to the author.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of get to know him. Thomas doesn't tell you a lot about himself. In
right.
fact, he uses the first person pronoun very rarely.
Yes.
In fact, I circled every time an I came on.
I'd like to see that list.
Yeah, and he does it every now and then, but mm-hmm. very rarely. He doesn't, he's not like Augustine. He doesn't tell you a lot
right.
about himself. But we got to the point in the when the supplement starts and the explanation comes that Thomas died and from this Reginald completed it and that
yeah.
and I just felt like this is no longer Thomas writing the Summa.
Mm-hmm.
Now of course most of it's still Thomas's words,
right?
But going back to when he was in his 20s or
mm-hmm.
his commentary on the sentences of Lombard and all
yes.
that. But yeah, I felt bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say though, as I read into that, I didn't notice that much of a difference.
Right.
The language is still the same,
mm-hmm.
and I got over it pretty quickly. But yeah,
yeah.
I was saddened.
What about the conversation with your wife? I mean, she's over the years is seeing you with this 5-volume set of books, right? I don't know if you're lugging them off to work or they're on your nightstand or next to your favorite chair. But, over the years, I'm sure she's had some comments about you and your Summa obsession. Share that with us.
Yeah. My wife is from Ireland, and not that really matters, but just, and she has more of a charismatic type of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And so hers is not, kind of like, this is not her,
mm-hmm.
necessarily her thing. But I would be up late at night reading, and then sometimes I'd come into the room at 12 or 12:30, and if she gets up, I'd say, "Can I just tell you what I just read?" Or did you know this? Or
yeah.
And then she's like, "Oh, come on, it's 12:30. Can you give it a break?" But I will say she appreciated that I was reading it because there's certainly a lot of worse things you could be reading. Wives could certainly be
right.
Upset that their husbands are reading worse things in the Summa.
Right.
And there was that one question that Thomas asks about whether a man should love more his father or his wife,
mm-hmm.
And I said, hey.
And what does he say for people?
He said he should have more love for his father, because his father is his principal, mm-hmm. the principal from whence he came.
And it relates to honor thy father and mother.
Yeah, and so my wife didn't like that one too much. So she's like, really? You love your father more than your you know. Of course, but Thomas writes beautifully on marriage and, mm-hmm. and women and things like that. So, but yeah, that one didn't go over too well.
Yeah. Now, so people, in the first segment, we talked about reading the Summa all the way through, right? What do you think is the most difficult section of the Summa? You'd mentioned the part on the law and the old law. But, you know, for me, you know, I would think people who are reading it, there's some really heady philosophical sections, especially in the first part.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when he's talking about the soul and the body, when he's talking about the nature of God, but you know, the Trinity and the processions and the missions of the persons, I mean, that can be pretty hard to read.
Yeah, yeah.
In your first round through, were you fazed by that, or were you just loving it?
Oh, yeah, I loved it, but I didn't understand everything. And to be honest with you, my favorite part is also what I consider to be probably the most difficult part, because when you get into the second part, you know, he's talking about the virtues mm-hmm. and the vices and sin, and you know, that's not that difficult to understand.
Sure.
I mean, that's you know, he puts it in a way that, you know, really is wonderful, but it's not that difficult. But right. you know, the epistemology, and especially when it's coming, you know, these things like intellectual species and how angels can come to know many things at one time, and you know, abstracting, you know, how our you know, active and passive intellect.
Yes.
And I gotta admit, I don't 100% understand that right now. I mean, right. I teach it and I try to explain it as best as I can, but even Thomas says, you know, these are things that really transcend our ability to know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can kind of do our best at understanding it, yeah. but many of the things, especially with God, transcends mm-hmm. the capability of our nature, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd say that's tough. Yeah. Yeah, it's tough to understand all that.
I have the experience still where I'll read an article, and I'll get through it. I'll go through all the objections, and I get the gist. Of course, he makes it very clear what he says and all. But there are times still where I think, okay, I got to go back and read it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are
yeah.
times when I just get bogged down in it. And sometimes the arguments can get pretty complex, mm-hmm. especially in that first part, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
When we're talking about causality and, you know, potentiality, actuality, and so on and so forth. So, okay, well, what would be your word of exhortation, your challenge to people who are watching right now? They've watched the first interview, they've watched the second, they're fired up, they're ready to do it. What's your word of exhortation?
I would have three bits of advice.
Okay, good.
And first of all, I would say, and as you have said before, read Chesterton's The Dumb Ox, maybe before you get into the Summa, if you
good.
Can. Because it's not a big book. It's, what, maybe 150, mm-hmm. 200 pages.
Very
it's
accessible.
It's a very easy read.
Written beautifully.
And I will say also, and I mean this sincerely, read your Thomas in 50 Pages. I read that after I read the Summa three times,
uh-huh.
and it still was really helpful to me. Okay. I use it.
I did not pay Dave to
no,
say
no, no,
that.
No,
I did not
I,
know he was going to
no,
say
it's,
that.
No, it's a free book.
Yeah, it's a free book.
So, no, but no, seriously, that's okay. very helpful. Your whole explanation of the four causes and, mm-hmm. and the way, you know, what is it, the equivocal and the univocal and the mm-hmm. Analogical. And then
yeah.
you also say, you know, if you don't understand this part, you know, you've got to understand the
yes.
The analogy of being, for example.
Yes.
And you know, and, you know, so that's very helpful. The third thing is, if you want to get really fired up about reading Aquinas, you got to read Eterni Patris,
mm-hmm.
Which I think most Summas have.
And tell people what the Eterni Patris
is. Yeah, that's the 1879 encyclical by Pope Leo XIII on the restoration of Christian philosophy according to the mind of St. Thomas Aquinas. Because, you know, I'll tell you about, 10, 12 years ago, Humana Vitae changed my life. I read that, you know, that's pretty short, and I never thought of, you know, especially sexual ethics and, mm-hmm. and the church the same. And Eterni Patris, you know, 12 years later had the same impact.
Yeah.
Those are the two encyclicals that changed my life. And basically, as you know, he's saying, you know, even back then in 1879, the world has been infiltrated by a lot of these bad philosophers, mm-hmm. bad philosophies. We gotta That's fight right. it.
And
the best way to fight it is go back to scholastic philosophy, the master being Thomas.
Yeah.
So that'd be my advice.
Yeah. Well, that's so lay the groundwork with some supplemental reading beforehand, just to get the feel.
Yeah.
And then get into the Summa.
I think so, yeah.
Great.
Or you can do it all at the same time. You know, if you're so excited. Because if you had told me, you know, 5 years ago to hold off
right.
and read these other three books
yeah.
before, I would have said, no,
yeah.
I got to
okay.
get into it. So you can read them at the same
so
time.
So follow your heart, too. Okay, great. All right, well, we hope that was helpful. Dave, thanks so much.
Yeah.
Loved
well,
it.
Well, thank
great
you
Great interview.
Much.
And go for it. Get the Summa. Open it up. Start reading. And your life will never be the same. Thank you so much, and God bless.
You know, before I started studying Thomas Aquinas in a systematic way, I felt like I understood Catholic theology pretty well. I'd read the Catechism. I'd read the Bible through several times. But the system, the integrity of Catholic teaching really didn't impress itself on me until I studied Thomas Aquinas. So I want to encourage you to take Dave's advice. Start reading the Summa. And if you're intimidated, start with something small, a little intro. If you've never studied philosophy, if you've never studied theology, I'd recommend for you a free book. It's called Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages. I wrote it as a free resource for people who want to just dip their toes into Thomas Aquinas and think to themselves, can I handle this? So you can get that book at taylormarshall.com. It's a free download. Please go get it. It's free. I want you to study. I want you to learn. And if you want to go to the next level, I would encourage you to sign up at the new St. Thomas Institute. We currently have three certificates. The level one certificate is an introduction to Catholic philosophy and Thomas Aquinas and Thomism. It gives you the basic vocab. It gives you lessons like the one you just heard. It'll give you everything you need to get started in the first several weeks. And then once you kind of build that foundation, you can move on to our certificate, level two, certificate in Catholic theology, and then level three, certificate in Catholic apologetics. And along the way, you'll watch videos, you'll listen to audio, and you'll have little practice quizzes. You're not penalized if you get some question wrong. We try to make them somewhat challenging, somewhat easy, somewhat fun, to keep you moving along, to test your knowledge. But at the end of each of these certificates is a final exam that's optional. You don't have to take it. But if you pass that exam, you will receive your certificate. Three of them, certificate in philosophy, certificate in theology, certificate in apologetics. And I think probably later this year or next year, we're going to introduce either a certificate in biblical studies and or a certificate in church history. So at the new St. Thomas Institute, we're trying to make affordable, fun, and attractive ways for Catholics to get deeper in their faith. Because the better we know our faith, the more we can take it out into the world. So look for a special link in this podcast show notes, episode 69, for a special 40% off tuition. And also join us this Thursday for our free webinar as we learn about Our Lady and the Eucharist. And until next time, remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.